You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Tuned into the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, guiding your gridiron journey, none other than your host, former NFL lineman, Ross Tucker.
Oh, yeah, it is. But it's not just any Ross Tucker Football Podcast. It is a Wisdom Wednesday, presented, of course, as always, by DraftKings. Very excited to get the wisdom from a guy I was hanging out with all week last week, Chase Daniel. Coming off, by the way, like a legendary NFL career on multiple levels. Looking forward to talking with Chase about that. There's some other stuff going on. Big contract extension week so far. Devontae Smith, DeForest Buckner. I've definitely got some thoughts on that. Obviously, we will have Greg Cosell on Thursday talking about the linebackers in this year's draft. Really looking forward to that. But first, it's big show time.
The Big Show.
All right, so Chase, it was great hanging last week. There's a lot, man. I was just thinking, there's a lot of things I want to get into with you. But let's start with that. Sort of, you know, you've been out of the league for a year now. We were at the broadcasting boot camp last week. What are you doing? And I know some of it, but what all are you doing? And what's kind of your initial thoughts on the media so far?
Yeah, look, I love it. And it's been exactly a year since I have retired, which is crazy. My wife is constantly telling me to get out of the house. I'm always in the way. Like, you know, it's like the classic, you know, you're gone every day for 14 years and all of a sudden you're home and I'm just like twiddling my thumbs. Like, what can I do? How can I do it? And so I started with the media stuff. Like, I actually was working for NFL Network my last year in 2022 with the Chargers while I was still playing. I did the Monday night post-game show. I think it was game day final on Mondays. And I did like 30 shows for them throughout the year, and it was awesome. And so they hired me this past year, my first full year out, and was on the network for like combine coverage, all total access stuff. And I'm actually going to be on draft coverage for them as well. And then I was doing a podcast with Trey Wingo called Chasing It with the 33rd team, and then a bunch of stuff for The Athletic as well. And so for me, it was exciting getting into the media. Like I like it a lot. And I've heard even from people at the broadcast boot camp, like yourself, who was the legend teaching us about some radio stuff, like, hey, you're either going to hate it or you're going to love it. Like, there's really hardly in between. And I ended up being the portion of the group that loved it. And look, for me, I want to be able to teach football. I want to be able, especially the quarterback position, there's so many things and stuff that I've learned over a 14-year career, played for two Hall of Fame coaches, played behind a Hall of Fame quarterback, maybe two. And so I have all these stories, all these experiences that I want to share. And probably the favorite thing that I've done, Ross, is my YouTube channel. We started a YouTube channel breaking down quarterback play week in and week out of the NFL season. And on October 1st, I had 1,200 subscribers. And at the end of the season, like February 1, or right before the Super Bowl, I hit 50,000 subscribers. And it was crazy because all I'm doing is breaking down 10 plays of any quarterback given. We were doing like five or six a week. And my first one, I did Justin Fields like October 1st. And as you know, in the media, Justin Fields, it's like you either hate him or people don't really like love him, like all this stuff in between. And my first video got like 150,000 views. And so for me, that was like, whoa, okay, there is a spot for it. So we've been building that as well. So I'm just trying to, I'm throwing darts all over the board. I don't know what I want to do for, like full time, but I'm very busy right now.
That is awesome. It sounds like you're doing the right thing, by the way. You kind of have your own thing going. You have multiple employers. You are well on your way. I'm curious. Obviously, 14 years is incredible. The thing that's wild to me about your career, Chase, is just how durable the starting quarterbacks were for the teams you played for.
Good observation.
I know people talk about it a lot, but I guess you started 5 games in 14 years, which is just insane. I mean, you think one of those 14 years, the guy is done for the year, like week 8, and you're starting the whole rest of the season. It never happened. Like, I started 25 games my first 4 years, you know? It's pretty remarkable. So I guess, how do you look when you look back on your career? Is it all positive? Do you wish you had a chance to play more? Just kind of your reflections on it.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Like, it didn't seem like 14 years because I was having fun. But, yeah, I mean, look, when you look back at it, my wife would probably be the first one to say, like, oh, I wish you would have gotten more of a shot. I'm pretty happy with it. Like, of course, during, you know, your career, you want to be the person who is a good teammate. And that's what I wanted to become known as. Not only a good teammate, but, like, look, as a backup quarterback, you know, your job's twofold. I tell it to everyone I ever talk to. It's like, one, like, first of all, like, when your number's called, you better play well. And you better play well quickly with little reps and no preparation. And I feel like, for the most part, I did that. And number two is, like, you have to do anything and everything in your power to help the starter. So I've sort of have had to be a chameleon of sorts in my career to, like, morph toward, hey, Carson Wentz, when I was backing him up, he likes this preparation versus Drew Brees, when I was, like, a rookie, you know, backing him up with Mark Brunell, likes something completely different. And then Alex Smith didn't like to watch film with his backups till I got there. So we sort of found a way to, like, watch film together. And so for me, that was a huge part of my career. And of course, there's always part of me that, like, hey, like, you know, everyone wants to be a starter. And I told myself, and I said, if I ever lost that fire, then I would quit and I would retire. And I really never lost a fire. It just sort of was a family thing. Like, it was just time to, like, move on with my life and career. I saw a path in media. And so for me, it was great. Like, it was something that I'll always remember, to be able to play with some of the, like, amazing Hall of Fame players in my career, and to really take experiences and take knowledge from and really learn from and try to put that to coaching. Right now I'm coaching my 6-year-old flag football team, my son's flag football team. So, like, I'm trying to put some of that into those boys. So it's been a cool, like, 360-degree turnaround to where now I'm fully focused on my family.
So that actually brings up one question I had for you. I'm going to ask you about the rookie quarterbacks this year. And I know you've broken them down on video, and I know you have opinions, and I want to hear that from you. I guess the question I have, though, first, Chase, how important do you think situation, circumstance, surroundings are? And almost, in other words, like, if we switched C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young last year, so to speak, how do you think it would have gone for those guys? You played with a bunch of different quarterbacks, a lot of teams. How much stock do you put in the value of the people around you and the situation that you're thrust upon?
Well, a lot, because in my opinion, and in a lot of people's opinion, quarterback is the most important position in all of sports. However, there are 10 other guys on your team that need to be doing the right thing at the right time, or you cannot see your quarterback hit his ceiling. And so let's just take, for example, last year with Brock Purdy, mystery relevant. No one talked about him. He gets into a Shanahan scheme with amazing playmakers. Now he's making the plays, but when you come into a situation where you have to start, you're number 3 on the depth chart going in. Both guys get hurt, Trey Lance, Jimmy Garoppolo. You go in, you have Brandon Ayuk, you have Debo Samuel, CMC, George Kittle, Trent Williams. I mean, like that, and you saw, because of that, he was able to elevate his game because he didn't have to worry about all the other stuff. Like, hey, just throw it to Debo Samuel on the screen. He's going to take it 60, you know, and I'm a huge Brock Purdy fan, but he went to the right fit. You see first round picks, like, it's like at a 40% clip. I had NFL Research do some stats for me and research for me, because I want to be on draft coverage. I want to know myself. Like, 40% of first-round quarterbacks in the last 10 years have fizzled out within 3 years. Like that stat to me is mind-boggling. Now, I don't know if that's necessarily all fit, but the coaching staff you surround yourself with, the type of offense, the GM, the building, the backup quarterback, the offensive line, can you stay upright? Are you scared in the pocket? All that matters. And I think that's why it's so hard, Rush, you know better than anyone, to evaluate quarterbacks. You can think, and I can think all I want, that Caleb Williams is going to be amazing with the Bears. Now, I do think he's going into an excellent position in Chicago, and they've surrounded him with weapons, Keenan Allen, DJ Moore. They have a top 10 defense the last 8 games of the year. All that stuff matters. But at the end of the day, can the guy who's playing quarterback and position himself to lead his team for the next decade, you have to have the right people around him.
It's interesting because I got to be honest with you, man. When the season started, I thought that the Panthers had kind of gone out of their way to make sure Bryce Young had some legit people around him, right? Like, they brought in DJ Chark and Thielen and Hayden Hurst and Miles Sanders. I mean, it's tight end, two receivers, a running back. They thought they had the O-line. Meanwhile, Stroud, I'm like, who are these guys? Like, the receivers were like Nico Collins and whatever. And then the O-line, they were banged up. Titus Howard, Laremy Tunsil was banged up. I thought he was going into a bad situation.
Yeah.
And it kind of ended up being the opposite. So even if you try to make it the way you want to make it, it doesn't always work that way.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what's crazy about the Bryce Young situation, knowing the inner workings of some stuff that went on there. It's like, hey, you can have the players around you, but if the coaching staff isn't on the same page, you're going to have some issues. And then you go to Houston. My quarterback coach, Shane Day, was not a quarterback coach, but he was a senior offensive assistant down there on that staff in Houston. He was just like, the way we installed plays, the way that CJ was able to grasp the offense, the leadership that CJ Stroud showed from day one of OTAs, like, you could never ever evaluate that. You think you know, but remember that whole test taking thing? Like, it doesn't matter. Like, what does a guy do between the white lines? But you got to have the offensive system and the offensive pieces around them to make it work.
All right. So out of all these guys this year, and it sounds like there's a pretty good chance we'll have 5 go in the first round, maybe even more.
Maybe 6. Yeah.
Is there a guy that you really, really like? I mean, I know people have Caleb at the top or whatever, but is there a guy that maybe, Chase, you feel like you're higher on than everybody else is for some reason? And who is that and why?
Look, he's the betting favorite to go number 2 now. It's Jaden Daniels for me. And I've always been a big Jaden Daniels fan. Like, I take it from like Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels tier, and then there's a little bit of a drop from the rest. And look, Caleb's going to go 1. Everyone knows everything about Caleb and what he does. But with Jaden, for me, like, he is an excellent runner. Like, everyone knows that. Everyone's seen that. The 200-yard output versus Florida last year was like insane. He can get out of trouble. But what people don't understand is how good of a pocket passer he is when he needs to be. And that is more times than not. Purely going based off film that I've seen, he is easily the best pure progression passer of the group. What does that mean? Well, here's number 1. It's not open. Here's number 2. It's not open. Hit 3 and 4. I've never seen a quarterback in the few years I've been evaluating college quarterbacks to make the jump to the next level. Have I seen them go through progressions at a faster clip than Jaden? He's almost predetermining, which is a really good thing. You can do this on certain plays, where to go with the football based on progression. So that tells me, 1, he understands the game. 2, he's really smart. He's understanding. He's seeing coverages. And everyone I've heard from at the combine with these interviews has says Jaden Daniels has absolutely knocked it out of the park. And then talk about fit with Cliff Kingsbury in Washington. And you saw what Cliff was able to do with Kyler Murray. I think Jaden Daniels is better fit for this offense. And he's really, truly, like, he's a unique combo of a pocket passer, but a Lamar Jackson RG3 type when he's running. The biggest issue for me is he's very frail and he gets absolutely smoked when he runs the football. He has to learn how to get down, how to not take those hits so he can continue playing.
Wow, that's quite the compliment, Chase. What about, and it's funny because I feel like everybody I talk to, Orlovsky and Riddick and Cosell, I mean, they're all saying somewhat similar things. What about the guy, is there a guy that you're most concerned about among this top group that maybe you got a bunch of questions after watching them?
I don't necessarily think I have questions more so. I just don't know if Drake May is ready to play from day one. Like, if he were to go to the Patriots, like, I just don't know if they have enough around him to be able to suit up week one and play and be a really good football player. Like, I feel like he lacks some experience. Now, if you go back and you watch the 2022 film, like, I really wish he would have just came out then, because he would have been a top two or three pick for sure. And then you watch his film from this past year, no offensive line play, no receiver separation. He was without his main guy for like 10 out of the 14 weeks that he played, and just looked like he was forcing stuff. But there's, when I watch him on film, there's a little bit of like Justin Herbert, Philip Rivers, like big, strong, like country boy type guy. And I've heard he's really good in the interview room. It's just, how does that translate to on the field? I don't know. It's going to be something that bears watching, because I just don't know, based on what I see, if he's ready to be a day one starter right away. Although I do know that Minnesota Vikings absolutely are in love with him. I don't know if they have enough ammo to get up to that third spot where the Patriots are picking, because I do think you're probably going to have to get to that spot. That would be an offense that I think he could thrive in, with Kevin O'Connell, everything that he's around, Jordan Addison, Jordan Jefferson, right? Like, all these guys around him, I think he would be a perfect fit for that. I just don't know if, one, he's going to fall that far, or if, two, the Vikings are going to make the move all the way up to three to get him.
Absolutely love it. What about, I don't know how many of the second tier guys you've checked out, Chase, sort of the, I don't know if Bo Nix is even in that group, but, you know, Spencer Rattler, Joe Milton, are there any other guys that maybe aren't being talked about enough in your mind that you really like?
The Pratt guy from Tulane. I think he is a great middle round prospect, and a guy that, if needed, can step in and play. I haven't watched enough film on him, but what I have, like, to make a, like, decided, hey, he's going to be like a second round pick or first round pick. But the game film that I have watched, he shows anticipation. He's extremely accurate. He's on time. He had a good combine workout. He's had good interviews from what I've heard. So he's a guy. And also Spencer Rattler. Like, Spencer, to me, he put on a show at the Senior Bowl. Obviously won MVP there and had a really good combine work. And I think the issue for him going into this whole process was, is he mature enough to move past maybe his past struggles at Oklahoma? Not necessarily on the field, but off the field. And I think what he's done at South Carolina the past couple of years, and then his whole interview evaluation process from February into now, has really answered some questions for some scouts.
Absolutely love it. Give me one thing on Drew Brees that, you know, you were around him for a long time. You know, I'll never forget going to a game, and like before the game, I thought there was something wrong with him, because I'm like watching him like go like this. And I'm like, what's wrong with him? I didn't realize what his pregame routine was.
Yeah, that's the old Tom House pregame routine. It started with Brady, then Brees. Now you see everyone doing it, the Dak, where you're like putting your shoulder back and forth and stuff like that. But with Drew, for me, like, I'm sure people understand, but like, he is the most competitive person I've ever met in my entire life. When I'm talking like we're competing at everything we do, we're running from drill to drill, trying to get to the point where the quarterback coaches and touch them on the shoulder before each other. And so he brought out that competitive nature in me. I mean, still to this day, he lives right down the road from me, and we play golf once or twice a month. And he's still trying to every pot. Like, I'm not a good golfer, Ross. Like, I'm not a good golfer. Like, I can hit the ball Drew's good at everything that he does, and it pisses me off. He's good at pickleball. He's good at baseball. He's good at everything. He's a switch hitter in like slow pitch softball, like everything. And we're out on the course. He's trying to like, hey, let's see who can hit it the furthest. Hey, let's see who can get it the closest pin. I'm like, dude, I just want to relax and play. And so that really hasn't changed for him. So I think that just shows the person that he is.
You got to check him out on social media. At Chase Daniel. Also, he's got this awesome YouTube page. How can they find the YouTube page, Chase?
Yeah, it's just Chase Daniel Show, and it's excellent. Like, you search Chase Daniel, it'll pull up my page. But, yeah, we try to do 4 to 5 videos a week of breakdowns, quarterback breakdowns during the season. And then if you look on the page, the last, like, 6 or 7 have been quarterback breakdowns. We're actually dropping a Jaden Daniels one today, so go check it out.
Awesome. Love it. Thanks so much for coming on the show, man. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Ross.
That was so good. Almost as good as Labatt Blue Light, which is incredibly delicious. Big fan. Gosh, it's only Tuesday as we're recording this. Man, I need some Labatt Blue Light soon. Always do it responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Tux Takes.
All right, Ross, the Eagles, they gave Devonta Smith a 4-year, $90.59 million extension, which is essentially $25 million a year in the 3 new years to his contract through 2028.
Right, and I talked about this yesterday on social media, at Ross Tucker NFL. I do that Ross report just once a week in the offseason talking about the Eagles. And honestly, most of the stuff I'm going to say about Devonta Smith, I'm kind of going to reference it talking about the next guy.
Yeah, so next guy, DeForest Buckner, he gets a 2-year, $46 million extension through 2026.
I'm actually going to make this, Jack, my Labatt take of the week, presented by Labatt Blue Light, the pristine Canadian Pilsner. Enjoy your beers together so you can live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. It's called being proactive as opposed to reactive. Whether it's the Eagles and all the guys they sign, or even the Colts with DeForest Buckner, Zaire Franklin, etc. In life, you're always going to be more successful if you're proactive. The salary cap is going up significantly every year. As new guys get contracts, Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, etc., those numbers are going up. Why wait? There's almost no value in waiting. Then you get contract issues. So be proactive like the Colts and the Eagles instead of being reactive like the Cowboys, where they're just going to hold out like Zach Martin did and Zeke Elliott did, and you're just going to end up giving them the money anyway. So what are you waiting for, Dallas?
Raiders, they sign offensive lineman Cody Whitehair, while Broncos wide receiver Cortland Sutton, he is skipping voluntary workouts in search of a new contract.
So for the Raiders, so Cody Whitehair, I think he's been banged up a little bit. He's not the player that the Bears once gave a lot of money to. So, but I think at this stage, he's still a pretty solid swing inside guy. He's still a pretty solid Tuckerino. We need a name for that, Jack. Like the swing inside guy with some versatility. He's still a pretty solid Tucker type. And so the Raiders making sure they're in a decent spot at center and both guards. And Cortland Sutton, add him to the list. Justin Jefferson, Brandon Ayuk, CeeDee Lamb, T. Higgins, Cortland Sutton. This is why you sign guys before they get to this point where they want big, big money. That's why the Eagles were smart to do what they did with Devonta Smith, like I said earlier and on the Ross report. You know what I haven't done in a while, Jack? I haven't had a chance to actually announce the winners. You guys know I love those of you that go the extra mile in any way. We used to do it the last episode of each week, but to be honest with you, you know, there's always so much going on, and I love talking to Greg. We got time right now. So the Spread the Word winner, that is going to be Stanford Young. He did a quote post of at Ross Tucker Pod. So all you have to do is engage with at Ross Tucker NFL or at Ross Tucker Pod on any platform, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We're watching. Stanford, you're winning email me, ross@rostucker.com. I still have some glorious, awesome press passes for you. How about the sponsor confirmation email winner? The lead pastor down there in Texas, Justin Christopher, he bought Emery's draft guide, which you should all do, by the way. Listen to College Draft Podcast. And then the YouTube shout out, Paul Harnish. I love doing these videos for you guys. YouTube.com/RossTuckerNFL. Paul Harnish made a comment on one of the Even Money videos. Let me know who you want the shout out video for, Paul. You're all winners. I love it. I think we're done here.
Thanks for tuning in to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Make sure to also check out Even Money, Fantasy Feast, and College Draft, all on the DraftKings Network on Samsung TV Plus, YouTube, or subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform.
Shout out MyFrontPageStory.com. Talk about winning. You get your mom or whoever the best gift of all time for Mother's Day, and I will personally send you a signed autograph. I guarantee it. MyFrontPageStory.com. BackOfficeScheduler.com, SteakhouseSports.com, HumanHeadNYC.com, Sporticulture, Pizza Boy Brewing.